Perek Chaf Dalad Mishnah Gimel. Ein Ovsin Es Hagamal. A person cannot force feed a camel. The custom was they used to fatten up the camels before they would go out to the desert. They would give it a lot of food all in one shot in order that it should have plenty of food for the journey. And the Mishnah is coming to teach you that you cannot stuff the camel with food on Shabbos, because again, this is Tircha Yetera, what we found in the previous Mishnayos, that you can't do an extra Tircha, an extra work on Shabbos, it's not necessary. Velo Dorsin, you cannot, Doris is to crush, here what they mean is, Velo Dorsin Bekolachas Ochel Toch Grono, meaning you can't force the food into its mouth until you get to a point where, that it can't spit it out. So you can't, you can't think, hey, I'll just put it in his mouth. Just stuffing it up. I'm putting it in his mouth and we'll see what happens. So if you're putting it in his mouth with force, that's prohibited as well. Aval but mal eaten. You are permitted, if the camel say it doesn't want to eat, then you're allowed to place the food into his mouth, and then he can swallow on his own. You leave it over there. That would be permitted. V'ein mamrim. So, and the reason why that's permitted is that it's not with force. You're just placing it in his mouth, and then the camel will choose, whether he wants to swallow it, whether he doesn't. V'ein mamrim es ha'agalam. A person is not permitted to be mara the agalam. What does that mean? Hamras ha'agalam is they used to crouch down the baby calves. They would make them sit down, and then they would stick food that's mixed up with water into their throats in order to force feed them until they can't spit it out. They just stuff it down their throat, and you can't do this on Shabbos also because of tircha yetera. If for whatever reason you've got to force feed your animal, you can't do this to the baby calf because it's an extra tircha, it's extra work on Shabbos. Aval, but again, malitin. You could just, you could be malitin to the agala, meaning you could place the food into their mouth the normal way up until their throat. And if they decide to swallow it, they swallow it. If they decide not to, then, they don't. So again, we're repeating the idea of you can't force feed them, but you could put the food very, very close to their bellies, put it in their mouth, then they choose whether they want to eat it or not. Umahalkatin latarnagolim. So what does that mean? You could stick food, into the mouths of a chicken. That's permitted. Vinosnin mayim la morsen. It's permitted to put water into morsen. Morsen is the waste that comes out of flour. So you let a take water and mix it with this psolas that came off the waste from the flour in order to make it into animal food for your animals. Avalo govlim, though, you could put the water into it, but you can't knead it. In lusher mesa morsen b'mayim, you can't knead it with the water because kneading it is prohibited on Shabbos. Lush is one of the 39 malachos. You can't knead on Shabbos. V'ein nosen mayim lefnei devorim lefnei yonim shibashofach. A person is not permitted to place water in front of his bees if he's farming bees, or in front of his doves in the bird's nest on Shabbos, because the derech is that these birds and bees will fly off and they'll go to a swamp where they have water there already. So since they can just go to the swamp easily, then you shouldn't be putting water in front of them, because that's a tircha yeter, it's an extra work on Shabbos, which is prohibited. Aval, but notice that you could put ochel umayim b'Shabbos, you could put food and water on Shabbos, if they avazin, in front of goose, the tarnagolim, and in front of tarnagolim is a chicken, and it's referring to specifically ones that are raised in the home. Hagdolim b'bayis are raised in the home. Or b'fnei yone hardesios, in front of yone hardesios. What does that mean? There was a yona, a type of dove, that was called a hardesios from the name Hordes, from King Herod. And the reason why it's called the yone hardesios is because King Herod, Hordes, used to raise these doves in his palace. So these three animals, the goose, the chicken, and these type of doves that are raised in the home. So these, you're permitted to put food and water before them on Shabbos. Since they don't fly away from the house and get their own food, so they really are dependent upon you, and therefore it's put on the owner of the home to feed these animals and to give them water to drink. And therefore, by putting the water and the food in front of them, it's not an extra tirch, it's not extra work, because they wouldn't have what to eat from. So even though, yes, they can fly away, but since the goose and the chickens and the doves, they don't, you know, leave the premises of the home, they're more, you know, homey animals. So these animals are permitted to feed on Shabbos. Okay. Moving right along to Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah Dalet, mechatchin es hadluin, you can cut up a deluin. Deluin is like a pumpkin or a squash. As long as it was picked, Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, you can cut it up on Shabbos. Lifnei habehim, in front of your animals, even though a regular pumpkin, a regular squash is meant for, people to eat, and einam omdim lemaichel behemah, it's not meant for animals to eat it, still it's permitted to cut it up for your animals on Shabbos. That's not deemed an extra tircha. The es hanavela, if you have an animal that became an avela, it became, you know, it died, shinsnavela bishabbos, it died on Shabbos. So then you have this carcass sitting around. So even though, it died on Shabbos, now mechatzkanos, you could cut it up, lefnei klavim, in front of your dogs. And even though on Erev Shabbos, it was still, you know, afabisha, but Erev Shabbos, benesh moshes, hoitzai, medus la'adam, let's just say it a chicken. So Erev Shabbos, it was alive. So technically a person could eat it. So now it's really people food. Wasn't prepared for this dog to eat it. Nevertheless, once it became an avela, it died on Shabbos, and now it's not permissible for people to eat it because it was no shechita. You could, you could give it to your dogs on Shabbos, because according to Tanna Kamma, he doesn't prohibit a nevela because of muktzah. He says it's permitted. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Omer, right away, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Emlo heisa nevela me'erev Shabbos." If it wasn't a carcass before Shabbos, it only became a carcass on Shabbos, then asura is prohibited to put in front of the dog. It wasn't prepared before Shabbos to be meant for ma'achal behema, to be meant for animal food. If you prepared it before Shabbos, meaning it was already a dead carcass, so you set it aside as food for your dogs. Now your dogs can eat it, and you can cut it up on Shabbos. But if it was alive before Shabbos, and it only became a dead carcass on Shabbos, so that's muktzah. You never set it aside or prepared it to be food for the dog. And since you didn't prepare it, it's like regular muktzah, and Rabbi Yehuda says that you can't cut it up for your dog to eat it. If your dog wants to go ahead and start munching on it, you don't have to hold him back, but you can't start cutting it up for him, because Rabbi Yehuda will hold that it is muktzah. And that would be the machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin to on the lenient end, like the Tanna Kamma, you know, if it's ever applicable, this is the source, and we don't pass it like Rabbi Yehuda. That concludes Mishnah Dalet.